For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 30th, 1993. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wes Doffenbaugh of Omaha, Nebraska is the speaker of the afternoon.
This afternoon is afternoon deliverance session. We may have some more tonight and in the morning, but as a deliverance session such as this is the last one for this camp meeting. So if you came here for some help, you get in the middle of it and get it. Don't go home and say, I didn't get it, because you have your opportunity this afternoon. And you can take advantage of that opportunity because it's here for you. And so Brother Wes is going to come and stir up and cast out and set the captives free.
Let's all stand, and we want to pray. And I want you to really pray fervently with me. Of all the services that I have spoke at, I'm more excited in my heart and spirit about this one than any of them. I was pretty excited going up to minister to the ladies yesterday. I knew that was going to be good. And the Lord met us. The topic that I want to speak on is so awesome that I just could... it's just my heart. And if God ever helped me to get something across to you, and these are just some simple stuff. This is real simple stuff. I could preach my sermon in two words. Those two words would be love God. And I really want God to come and move. Maybe I'll just start preaching my sermon, I guess, before we pray, but we better hurry and pray. I just wanted to ask your help as we pray, because the end result of what I want to do is I want to talk to you and preach to you about loving God. Having a heart of love for God. Having God put that love in us. And we want to pray that God puts an all-consuming love for himself in us. And then if the Lord wills, we'll deal with self stuff. Self is always opposed to loving God. And I've got a big long list of self bondages. And when you get rid of that old self stuff, boy, you're just knocking a whole lot of stuff out. But listen to me, folks. Everybody look to me. Look at me and listen. If, you know, when a spacecraft is up above the Earth and it's one of those old satellites and it runs out of steam and it enters the Earth's atmosphere again, how many of you know it burns up? Meteorites that come in and they just come into the atmosphere, they just burn up. Now, they could have a lot, they could weigh a lot of tons, there could be a lot of equipment on them, a lot of different things, but it'd all burn up anyway. So a lot of people are saying, Brother Wes, you know, the time's about over. Can I have a private appointment with you? I still got all these bondages. And a lady was here today, and she, you know, she was telling me all these different things. Obviously, she needed a lot of ministry. And I told her what I'm going to tell you. You've got to head with all your heart to love God. And as you're approaching his brightness and his glory, those things are just burning off. See, and if you forgot every other thing and you just remembered to love God. See, I'm preaching before I mean to preach, but all this is to ask for your help to pray the prayer so that the presence of God will come. And I want to show you how important the prayer is, so then we can all pray and we can ask for a move of God's Spirit. If you really love, you will get through any crisis in life. He'll deliver you. He'll get you through it. He'll be with you in trouble. He'll honor you with long life. He'll satisfy you. Do all those good things. You can be mixed up in a basket case and totally goofy. And if you'll just head for the atmosphere of God's presence and you just go, those things are going to burn off. They're going to drop off. But you know, folks, if we want to be delivered of this and delivered of that, and we're looking what demon binds me over here and what demon binds me over here, and I think I got to get free from this over here. Now, folks, only one thing is necessary, and that's to love God. And if we get off here chasing or pursuing deliverance, we won't have time to pursue our Lord and our Master. Then we might get delivered of some things, but we'll never get delivered of everything. Whereas if we'll just, with all our heart, fall in love with Him, then it won't be long until we're filled with all the fullness of God. It's the love of God. Paul said, I pray that you'd be filled with all the fullness of God, rooted and grounded in love. So I can't think of anything more important to preach about. Well, I know how God loves you. Certainly we need to hear everything about love, don't we? And that's the theme God's been having me speak on. Now, it takes God's presence to come in and sovereignly put an all-consuming love in our hearts. We are so straight off in this direction and focused on our problems and looking at this thing. And then we got all these crises. And we need God to turn our face and fix our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your heart on God. And we need the Holy Spirit to come in. And so we don't just talk about it, but so that it happens. And only God can do that. And then all the things that are opposed to loving God, all the selfishness, it would take a massive move of the Holy Spirit to rip all that out of us in one service. Now, I want you to ask God for that kind of a move of the Spirit. No evangelist, no pastor, no apostle or prophet can bring that kind of a move in just by their own love and devotion. You'll have to ask for it. And if God gives it to us, it'll be because the many prayed. Let's lift our hands up to God. And I'm going to need some Kleenex. Because my Kleenexes are all used right now. Hallelujah. And I didn't bring any handkerchiefs. Praise the Lord. There we go. I got a whole box. I should be in good shape now. All right, we're lifting our hands up to God. And I just want to say I love you. I've really enjoyed ministering to you. I'm going to be here tomorrow morning and I'll pray with as many people till they lock us out of the building tonight. Amen. We want to do everything we can for you. And I'm going to tell you now my very heart. Then if you'd like to be in the ministry, if you'd like to be a disciple type of a person, then you listen to this message with all of your heart. All right, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I can't think of anything I would like to have your help more than to preach a message that would cause all your children to fall head over heels in love with you. I'm not adequate for that task. I would also pray, Lord, that... So I just pray you do it. You're adequate to it. Your Holy Spirit is adequate. And I yield myself as a vessel. And then, Lord, we know that self is so opposed to loving you. And all these selfish bondages are trying to pull us off into every type of self-idolatry and self-preservation and self-justification and self-centeredness. I would like you to fill this place with legions of holy angels. I want the people to be filled with the love of God. And after you fill us with the love of God, I ask you to just rip in an all-out battle anointing. Not that anybody could take any credit for it, or anybody could boast as to what kind of a move of God we had. And that's why we're all asking you for the move of God together. If you hear us and grant our prayer, no one can boast. But we desire these things, that you may be glorified, that we may love you, that there'll be eternal fruit from all this. We thank you and give you glory for all the great moves of your Spirit through every different spirit. For the good things your Spirit has done for us through the many different individuals praying for each other. It's been a beautiful week, and we give you the praise and the glory. So hear and answer our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to just squeeze somebody's hand and tell them you love them. Put some blessing on them right now, and then you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. And my message is entitled, Love God. And I hope that my introduction in prayer was on the tape. Because I did some pretty good preaching there while I was introducing my sermon. When you love God, every beating of your heart your waking moments, your thoughts are about knowing Him, pleasing Him, bringing Him honor and glory. And this is your motive. You can do the right things from the wrong motives. You can preach for a motive of being seen and heard of men. You can pray for people and have them fall under the power and be secretly wanting them to fall so that you look good. You can have wrong motives. You can want to give a testimony so that everybody sees how spiritual you are, that you're more spiritual than somebody else. You can do all kind of religious things. Everything there is to do can be done with the wrong motives. But there is a golden motive that Jesus operated in when He was on earth. And by the Holy Spirit, He wants to put that motive in us. And it is this desire to bring glory to God. Now, you won't have any desire to glorify God unless you love Him. And He'll have to put that love in us. We're incapable. Like the song the lady sang. She sang and said it beautifully the other day. Or it was today or whenever she did it. She's saying how we have to ask God to put the love in us to love Him with. That's exactly right. I was a junior in Bible college. It was a 3-year Bible college, freshman, junior, and senior year. And my junior year, I got a revelation of this scripture. And it gripped me for an entire year. For that entire year, literally everything I did, God said, why are you doing it? Why do you want to sing? I said, well, I want people to see that I'm a good singer. By the way, I sing and write songs myself. I've got a whole songbook. I just forgot to bring any of them. Maybe tomorrow morning somebody let me sing a song. Maybe. I like to sing, too. Anyway, God said, why are you singing? Well, my motives would get sifted. I wanted somebody to see that I could sing. Why do you want to sing your own songs instead of somebody else's song? Well, I want to have them see that I can write songs. God said, that's not good enough. And He'd sift me and sift me and sift me and sift me until I said, Lord, I want to sing to have them see You. I want to preach. Have them see You. I want to somehow scoop the glory up over my head and focus it on You. And by the way, Christian groups, they sing with the wrong motive. Me doing self-glorification, pulling the, you can sing Amazing Grace. I heard Elvis Presley sing Amazing Grace, focusing all the glory on himself. You can, I've heard people sing, Oh Happy Day, and sing it in such a soulish, attention-getting way. But it's just nothing more than self-glorification. And when you preach, you go get to being cutesy, you know. I mean, the Holy Spirit's funny. He's got a sense of humor. He invented humor. And sometimes I can get under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not normally a very funny guy. I mean, I look funny, but you know what I mean. I'm not a big jokester by nature. But I can get going in the Holy Spirit, and people just be roaring and laughing. But if I tried to mimic that in myself and be cutesy, you know what I mean, to get attention, see, the golden motive wouldn't be there. Now, this desire to bring glory to God is what brings the power of God. It brings the anointing of God. It keeps you pure. It keeps you a man or woman of God. It's extremely important. Now, I'll show you this scripture. All right? John 17. After Jesus said this, He looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. And when I read that, I thought, Jesus, how could You be so vain to ask God for the glory? The verse 5 was what I focused on. Father, now glorify Me. And the devil was trying to twist that on me. Glorify Me. And it sounded like Jesus was saying, put My name in lights. I want the glory. And I just thought, well, why was Jesus asking for the glory like that? Wasn't that wrong, Father? And the Lord said, read it again. Read it again. Father, time has come. Time was a time to go to the cross. Lay it all down. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. Now that's it in a nutshell. Jesus was asking, He was saying, I've brought You glory on earth by completing the work that You gave Me to do. And really, He hadn't yet completed the work. He hadn't yet gone to the cross. But in His heart, He was so sold out that it was as if it was already over. It was already said and done. The full consecration, the full surrender had already happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, God, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, I need a higher platform. I've completely used this platform to bring you glory. I can't bring you any more glory down here. I need a heavenly platform that I can stand on to bring even more glory. That's what he was praying. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. If you ask God for gifts of the Spirit, if you ask God for power, you need to be saying, God, I want the power so I can bring you the glory. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now that filled everything Jesus did. And he taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees standing out on the street corner praying to be seen and heard of men. Their motive was to be seen and heard of men. He said, go in and pray in secret. Have your motive be to glorify God. When you give in secret. So your motive is to glorify God. When you fast in secret, your motive should be to glorify God. Now, if at some time you need to do something public, there's times you need to pray in public. And I think there's times when sometimes we need to give a giving offering in public. I think there's a time when David certainly did that. And he stood up to everybody and said, I'm giving all this to the building of the temple. And that was in order. Because the motive was right. So whatever you do, do it from this motive. Glorifying God is the definition of success. He said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. See, that's success. Now, you can be a smashing success. You can be a smashing success. See, all the big worldly successful people make their millions and make their fame and then go to hell. And that's success. Burn forever in hell. You can't take any of it with you. You don't have a drink of water down there. They're not successful. Say that out loud. They're not successful. So see, we look to Jesus for our model of success. You can be a smashing success, Phil. Because you can say, all right, I'm with you, Holy Spirit. If you'll put that love in me, sister in the back in the navy blue, wave your hand at me. I'm looking right at you. Back row. You. Yeah, you just looked around. You can be a smashing success. You too. As I'm saying this to all of you, see. But some of you, I feel like I'm starting to get to know you a little bit. I want you to be real disciples here. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, that sounds good to me. Come in and take me over. Put that motive in me. Drive out every false motive. I want to be consumed with this desire to love God and know God and bring Him glory. Then you won't be phony. Then you won't be fake. You won't be goofy. When other people are getting goofy, you'll stay straight. When the temptation is all there to take the praise of men, you won't take the praise of men. You'll be immunized against pride and vainglory. You'll be immunized against dishonesty and all kinds of sexual sins because you wouldn't want to do anything that didn't bring God glory. The devil wear himself out trying to tempt you. How many of you like to see the devil get a flat forehead, slamming himself on the forehead, amen? Because he wouldn't be able to tempt you. Oh, he could tempt you, but he couldn't get any success with it. Because your whole heart would want to glorify God. It's the beginning and ending of the success cycle. You begin with the desire to glorify God, and after you've sought Him, depended and sought and heard and obeyed and persisted and achieved, you return the glory. That's why you started to get to that moment. To cast those crowns before Him. One time the Lord spoke to me, when you win the crown, don't bow down and worship your image in it. The people win a big achievement by grace, and then they look at they take their crown and see their reflection in its shiny golden surface. They begin to bow down to their image in their crown. And the crowns are to cast at His feet. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all, the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, the big things, the little things, and the in-between. I try to do everything to glorify God. I save the paper clips off of my mail and put them back in the drawer instead of throwing them in the trash. You know, the secretary lines up all the junk mail, you know, and she has it in one folder. She has the important mail in another folder, and so when I get to the junk mail, I'm ripping off the paper clips that she's all opened it up and clipped it all nice, and I'm saving them in the drawer. Why? I just think that gives God a little more glory and throw them in the trash. When I look at home and I think, God, have I taken any money or stolen any money from anybody? And the Lord says, no, but you sure got a lot of pens that you walked off with from the church. Oh, well, I want to bring them back. You say, well, otherwise, why would you want to be faithful in the small things like that? Because, you see, when you want to please and love God, you're not under legalism. That's not legalistic. I know I'll go to heaven if I forget to bring a pen back. And I know I'll go to heaven if I happen to throw a paperclip away. But just everything I do, I want to do it to glorify God. So if I can think of a little way to do something better, I want to do it. And then when you have a heart to want to glorify God, you're teachable. See, one of the things that's made me different is I let the Lord correct me on everything. We all have a bunch of false assumptions. Come on. You honest people said amen. We assume so many things that aren't true. And if we'll just want to glorify God, he'll lead us into all truth. Now, turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, and I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, let me help you a little bit with the end time stuff. I have sermons all about the end time. I like to study prophecy and try to figure out all the different ramifications of it. But I'm going to make it simple for you. Desire that God be glorified in your body, whether by life or by death. And if somehow God got goofed up and forgot and gave us a pre-tribulation rapture, you'd be ready for it. Don't ever get exalted that you know all the right doctrine about the end time, because that's not spirituality anyway. You're not more spiritual than the guy that believes in pre-tribulation rapture, because you don't. He might be walking in way more love, be feeding the hungry, right? Giving drink to the thirsty. And he may just not know anything about the end time. And he'll walk off with all the rewards, while you can be over there with all your books and study helps and know everything about the end time, and you're not doing anything for anybody. I'm going to tell you, spirituality is measured in love, not knowledge. Now, knowledge is important, but love is more important. Say, that's the truth. All right, so I would like to see, should we desire that we live to the point where Christ comes in the clouds and changes us in a moment so that we never see death? A lot of people instantly say, yes, that's exactly what I want. Well, I'm not so quick to do that. Because I don't know whether it would bring God more glory for me to die a martyr's death or to live a martyr's life. You see, if you live till the coming of Christ, you're going to live a martyr's life. You're going to suffer a lot of reproach for his name. You're going to go through a lot of hardships. Some martyrs, they get killed real quick in 5 minutes and it's all over for them. Somebody else might live and never die a martyr's death, but live a martyr's life. Like Richard Wurmbrand. He hasn't died a martyr's death, but for 14 years he was in communist prisons. Some other guy gets martyred right away. He's off to glory. His suffering didn't last very long, but the guy that lived a martyr's life might really suffer. So let's just make it simple. Just ask God, whichever way brings you the most glory, that's what I want. Everybody say, that's simple. If it bring God more glory to have you die a martyr's death, then go for it. I tell you what, who wants to die a boring death in a car accident or sickness? I hope none of us. I hope somehow we all either live the martyr's life to the coming of the Lord and are changed. Amen? That's personally the way I'd like to do it. I'd like to live the martyr's life, stick around, go through all the big battles, glorify God at the end. Hallelujah. Get in on the big brawl. How many of you know there's a big brawl coming? Amen. Between the forces of righteousness and the forces of the devil. God spoke to us in a prophecy in our church and said that we're just in skirmishes now. There's a war coming. He said, you're going to fight in the war. You're going to have your place in the war. But everything that's going on now is just little skirmishes. And you might think, well, I don't know if I'm spiritual enough to go through the tribulation. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough for all this end time stuff. And quit worrying about it. Just love God. If you love God, you're ready to face the Antichrist himself and scare the socks off of him. That's right. And can you make that love in yourself? No. We're all too weak for all that. None of us are spiritual enough for that. Everything is, God's whole system is grace. So you say, God, I would like to be the person absolutely consumed with love for you, so that everything I do and everything I don't do is from the motive of bringing you honor and glory. I'd like to be that person, but I know I'm not spiritual enough to do that in my own power. So I give myself to you. Hit me, God. Brother, be that man. Sister, be that woman. You can do that. You're not spiritual enough to do it on your own. But you can say, I would like that. Now, if God puts that kind of love in you, then you are being shot like a rocket at the atmosphere of God's throne and presence. And as you're going there like a rocket, the atmosphere of God's glory is going to be stripping away the bondages and burning them off. And you'll end up at the throne of God, delivered, faultless, without blame, without blemish, before the throne of God. And you might say, but Brother West, I don't know how I did here. I didn't spend all my time casting anything out. I just tried to love God. Oh, well, on the process, we'll cast things out. But casting things out is secondary. I love to cast things out. I like to, you've seen me, I think, haven't you, Sonia? I like to get in on the brawl. I like to go for it. I like to kick the devil out. I like to rip the devil out. I like to destroy the works of the devil. But if I got all the works of the devil out of you and you didn't love God, I'd have an empty tin can. I wouldn't have anything. But if somehow I could get this love of God in you, God has to put it in there. Then it would take you. It would take you down the road where everything you need would be on that. I said to this one sister that had to leave, I said, listen, there's too many things for me to pray about. I can't even begin a deliverance on you. You got too many needs. I'm going to tell you something. Suppose that you needed tires and clothing and fruit and meat and everything that you could buy at a store. And you were so needy and you didn't have anything. And I said, now listen, I'm going to give you my credit card. And I want you to go down this road. And on this road, if you just stay on this road, is every business that will sell everything you need. Now you've got my credit card. Just go down the road. I said, I looked in the eye and I says, love God. And I prayed that God would put this love in her. I know that'll do it. Keep it simple. If you think, how will I ever get free? Let's see, I've memorized the names of 10,000 demons. But I'm afraid there's 50,000 more. There might be 70,000 more. And you don't need to know the names of any of them. If you love God with an all-consuming love, God knows their names, and He'll burn them out and off of you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you're ready for the end time. You've heard about the guy that's a pan-theology? He believes it's all going to pan out in the end. Well, I think it's important to know, and I like to study all the scriptures, and there's a blessing for reading the book of Revelations, and I think there's a lot of things in there that haven't been revealed yet and all that. But don't ever forget 1 Corinthians 13, that you can fathom all mysteries and have not love, and it profits you nothing. So I always like to major in love. Now turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. And the bride of Christ, well, the Christ is talking to his bride here. Verse 12. And he speaks to her. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. That means that your motives are pure, like a sealed fountain. There's no dead frogs, dead rats in your well. You're sealed. Your water's pure. Your motives are pure. When you love God and everything you do, you want to glorify God, you're a sealed fountain, your spring enclosed. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, with henna and nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, every kind of incense tree, with myrrh and aloes and all the finest spices. You're a garden fountain, a well of flowing water, your liquid love. Your liquid love streaming down from Lebanon. And we'll read the verse 16 in a moment. I live my life as a gardener, making a garden for God. And every seed that I plant is some purpose to bring Him glory. Those are my seeds. And some of those goals to bring Him glory are going to be like trees. They're like big things. Like I have one goal to put my Life of God book, which I forgot to bring. I have a 32-page soul-winning book that's in 12 different languages now. I just got it back in Malayalam. Now it's in Hindi and Malayalam for India. Going into Gujarati pretty soon. We're just getting ready to put it in Japanese. All three languages, the Philippines, Urdu for Pakistan, and on and on. Now, that was a goal, to get that book into 100 major languages and tell people all over the world the glorious truth of salvation through Jesus. Now, that's like an orchard. Every one of those books is like a tree in my orchard. Every one of those languages, you see. And I want to plant 100 major languages on 100 trees in that orchard of pomegranates. It's going to bear a lot of fruit for God. And then I've got a program on Swazi Radio in Africa where I reach three nations, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and South Africa. And I want to bring God glory over the radio, see. And so I've got my little bushes here and there, and I've got my trees here and there, and I want to build a church that seats 2,000 in Omaha. Right now we're in a building that seats 200, you see. But I want to bring God glory. And so I'm planting my seeds. I'm wanting to raise two daughters that are going to live for God with all their heart. So I hug them. I kiss them. I pour love on them. I be an example to them. I help them with their homework. My daughter and I won the second prize in a science fair this year. Hallelujah. You say, why did you work so hard to help your daughter win the science fair? To glorify God. I want to be a good daddy. Why do you want to be a good daddy? I want to glorify God. Trees in my garden to be that tree about a good being a good husband. Loved his wife as Christ loved the church and bore all kinds of good fruit. I want there to be some beautiful trees that represent my daughters and all the beautiful fruit that come from their lives. And then I want there to be little flower beds all throughout that garden here or there that represent the little individual kindnesses that God used me to do that I didn't remember, that I just forgot about, that were just spontaneous things. They're going to be the little flowers. And at the end of my life, see, I'm working. I want to get my garden done. I want to get it all ready for my Lord, my Master. It's all my goal. See, you shouldn't have selfish goals. You shouldn't have selfish purposes. But you should be everything you do, everything you purpose. This is what will happen if you're consumed with love for God. This will be the way you think. You're going to be gardening for God. You don't think, well, let's see, what do I want to do to satisfy myself? What do I want to do to glorify myself? That's what the world is out there doing. They're thinking, I want to retire on the French Riviera on a big condominium. I want to be independently, financially wealthy. That's what the world says. All that's selfish. Let's be gardeners for God. A plan? Have you got a purpose, a goal, something to plant? And then as it sprouts, there begins to plan how to reach that goal. And as it begins to put out its branches, you begin to get the action steps, and then you put the leaves on your tree. All the doing where you actually do it. You actually do the work. And then by the grace of God, it bears fruit. 1988, I wrote a list of 100 things I wanted to do for God. One of the things was I wanted to get 500,000 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was just one on my list. Because I just wrote my list as, what would I do for God if God helped me do everything I want to do? If I could make it as big as I wanted to, and God made it all come to pass, what would you pick? I wrote down, I want to win millions and millions and millions of adults, millions of teenagers, and millions of children. But what if you could ask anything, and I will do it? What would you like to do? I haven't won millions. I believe I won thousands, though. It takes a thousand thousands to make a million. I led 1,000 people to Christ in Pakistan in 10 days. I only need 999 more experiences like that. Hallelujah, now I have a million. You say, Brother West, what if you never win millions? I don't know, honey, but I might win 500,000. Aim high. Desire to glorify God. Every single one of you can do that. You can all desire to glorify God some way. Maybe you'll be the best nursery worker that ever worked in a nursery. Hug more babies, kiss more babies, change their diapers more faithfully than anybody in all the universe. And God will give you a special crown that you can cast at His feet forever. I'm not kidding. Somebody's going to get the crown for the world's best nursery worker. Somebody's most faithful loving those little kids and creating an atmosphere in them that I love to go to church because at church I get love. Get a garden for God. Oh, hallelujah. Close your eyes and lift your hands up. Dream for a moment with the Holy Spirit. I'm too busy to get into sin. I don't have time for sin and playing around and goofing off. I'm too busy having fun bringing glory to God. When the devil rings my phone, he gets a busy signal because my brain is thinking about how to bring God glory. The devil just is busy, busy, busy. That's all he ever gets. Now that might be a bit of a brag. I think once in a while he rings through. I still need your prayers. But I do my best by the help and grace of God to keep me talking to my Father, amen, so that the line's too busy for the devil to ring in. Just lift your hands a little bit longer and worship God now and dream of bringing Him glory. Dream of bringing Him glory. You know, when you start doing that, things drop off of you. Bondages will drop off of you. If you'd start being a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain or a nursery worker or actually doing something for other people, so many bondages will drop off of you. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. As you serve God, as you love God, as you dream to glorify God. Folks, you're going to get free. But if you just try to get free and not do any of that, you'll only get a little bit free. Why not get all the way free? And have fruit besides. Worship Him just a little more. Because I believe my friend the Holy Spirit is giving visions and dreams into the hearts of people right now. I believe He's calling people to service right now. I believe He's calling missionaries. I believe He's calling people to be pastors. I believe He's calling people to be bus captains and Sunday school teachers and Christian workers of all kinds. And listen, it doesn't cost anything to dream. And you can be any kind of a basket case and dream. Are you the world's biggest basket case? You can dream about bringing glory to God. See, there isn't anything that won't burn off of you as you approach the presence of God. As you set out to love God, my friend, there's something about the glory and presence of God that as you set out to love Him, serve Him, honor Him, bring Him glory, it will burn away all that stuff that made you just a basket case. Therefore, dream, desire, 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 desire the desires of the righteous. He grants those desires. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your voice and praise Him and bless Him now. Adore Him. Adore Him. Adore Him. Adore Him. Oh, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. See? Hallelujah. Now, turn over to John 15:8. You can see why God wants the whole army to be used in deliverance so that the preachers won't lose their voice. So you can help me shout all those things out. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I don't use lapel mics. I hate lapel mics. You know why? One day I was speaking and I had to blow my nose. I got to kind of crying, you know. And I stepped away from the pulpit mic to blow my nose and I bowed my head, turned backwards, so that none of it would go into the sound system. Forgot I was wearing a lapel mic. Sounded like thunder coming out all over. I don't care how greatly you're used of God, you're still plain old common vanilla. Hello. We're still just plain old people. The excellency of the power is of God. We're just earthen vessels. Hallelujah. 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 Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him again. See, you're common enough. Hallelujah. You're weak enough. That's right. The Bible says, not many wise, not many noble. God chose the weak things of the world. Oh, then you qualify. God chose the foolish things of the world. Well, hey, then I qualify, right? Hallelujah. He chose the despised things of the world. Some of you other ones, you qualify, right? The things that are not, the nobodies. He chose them to confound all the worldly wise. Then we all qualify because we're nothing. He's everything. Praise God. All right, John 15:8. Talking about loving God. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now read verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. See, it's talking about prayer getting answered all the time. I have a beautiful sermon on that, and I want to preach a little part of it as it fits into this sermon. And I want to just pray again and ask the Lord to help me so I don't try to put too much in. I want to get done on time here. Close our eyes and let's ask the Lord. Father, in every single word I speak, let it be of the Holy Spirit. Don't let me try to put in too much, but just come up out of my spirit. Let it be the flow of your Holy Spirit so that we all hear the right thing. We fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now listen carefully. I want to be like Jesus. And folks, you know, if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to be absolutely selfless, totally in love with people, a total servant of everybody, totally controlled by God. In other words, we're like the angels. Nobody can tell us what to do. We're servants of the heirs of salvation, but only at God's command. Hello. You can't boss an angel around. You can't tell an angel what to do. He'll only take orders from God. He'll be your servant, but he'll only take orders from God. I'm an angel. The Bible says to the angel of the church of Laodicea, angel of the church of Ephesus. He's talking to the pastors. They're supposed to be angels. They're supposed to serve the saints constantly, but not the way the saints want them to do it. If they let the saints boss them around, they're a fallen angel. If you want to be a real angel, God will tell you how to love and serve people. Now, Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb with this tremendous confidence. I want to be like Jesus. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. He hadn't even prayed a prayer. He hadn't even commanded anything. And he said, I thank you that you've heard me. And he said, I thank you that you always hear me. He said, I knew that you always heard me, but I just said it for the benefit of these other people here, so they'd know that you sent me. And he says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! I didn't pray a prayer, but God heard that and made it happen. See, whether you ask, Father, would you please fill these people with virtues? Then God's going to answer your prayer. He's going to hear your prayer and do it. Or if you say, come out of them, you foul spirit, then God has to hear your command and enforce your command. Either way, God's going to have to hear you or nothing is going to happen. And God wants to bring us into this tremendous confidence where we could be like Jesus at Lazarus' tomb and absolutely know that what we ask is going to happen. Now, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus from glory to glory. And so part of becoming like Jesus is going to be having a prayer life like Jesus and being brought into that absolute confidence. I want to tell you, if you want to learn how to pray, you've got to develop a friendship with God, because you can't learn formulas. You have to. It's based on friendship, not formulas. Moses was the greatest man of prayer probably in the Old Testament. And the Bible says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So how did all that friendship get developed? Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command. Say that. You're my friends if you do what I command. So in the 7th chapter of Exodus, it said the Lord commanded, and Moses did what the Lord commanded. And Moses did what the Lord commanded. And Moses did what the Lord commanded. But in the 8th chapter, it says, and the Lord did what Moses asked. And the Lord did what Moses asked. And a little later in the book of Exodus, it says, God said, I'll do whatever you ask, because I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name. We're friends. We can learn every different formula about prayer and all the different kinds of prayer and everything else, but it just boils down, you got to be a friend of God. You got to want to obey him. You got to want to bring him glory. And then your heart will be so pure that whatever you ask, it will be his will working through you. Philippians 2:13 says that God works in us to will and to do his good purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right? So our prayer life has to be a absolute and total surrender to God. So that, you know why a lot of people don't pray? Is because prayer to them is getting God to do their will. And God won't do that. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask. It has to be his will. So a lot of people don't like to pray because they approach prayer this way. All right, I heard another sermon on prayer, God. I'm going to try it one more time. You better get it right this time. The last time I told you what to do, you didn't do it. And I'm good and ticked at you. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. This time you better do what I ask you to do, or I'm never going to pray again. How many of you know that's the way a lot of people pray? That's why people don't like to come to prayer meetings, because they're trying to boss God around. Now, that's the way they read the Bible. They come to the Bible and say, all right, Bible, I'm going to read you again. But this time you better get it right. Last time I found a promise that I took out of context and tried to use selfishly, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. And if you don't do what I want, I'm going to throw you out. Now, you're never going to get free that away. When you come to the Bible, come as a servant. Say, Word of God, here's your servant. I want to be a friend of God. Therefore, I want to do His commandments. Tell me what to do. Paul got to be a great man of prayer. You know why? Because the minute he saw the Lord, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He didn't say, wait, since I got your attention, now that I know who you are, I got a whole list of things I need you to do. Don't go away. Come here. See, that's the way a lot of people would have been. Right? He didn't even think about that. He immediately said, what would you have me to do? So when we go to prayer, we need to be thinking, God, what would you have me to do? When you read the Bible, Lord, what would you have me to do? We'll get all the phoniness out of us. We'll fall in love with God. And pretty soon then, God works in you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. See, a lot of people say, Brother West, how can I know the will of God? And I say, fall in love with God. And then check your heart out and see what your heart is willing to do. And very often it'll be the will of God. Because if you're really in love with God, God will work inside of you to will His good purpose. See, I run that way all the time in deliverance services. I'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do for these people? And if I don't hear anything, then I'll go by what I want to do. Because I know my will has been subjected to His. I still have a will, but it's in total submission and subjection to His will. Now listen, back in Bible school, I had a girl that I was dating. I led her to Christ in my junior year of high school. I dated her for 2 years. I wanted to marry her. I went to Bible school. She wrote me a Dear John letter. Said she's going to marry somebody else. Oh, I didn't want that to happen, so I went to prayer. How many of you know what kind of prayer I was going to pray? Tell God what I wanted Him to do. I cried and screamed louder than I've been screaming here. I screamed and cried and grieved so hard my heart stopped beating for about 7 beats. Prittner fell over dead. The sorrow of this world worketh death. I Prittner killed myself with sorrow. But after it's, I beat on my chest and it started beating again. I said, I don't love her that much. I'm not going to die over her. Well, I... You know what? I bought a whole new wardrobe. I went home to South Dakota to see if I could quarterback. New wardrobe didn't help. My trying to twist God's arm didn't help. Nothing helped. She married that other guy. So I said, must not have been God's will. Didn't work out. And I thought, God, that was such a bummer feeling to have my will want something that was opposite of your will. I said, I don't ever want to go through that pain again. So from now on, if you'll reveal your will to me, whatever it is, instantly, I'll make it my will to do your will. Boy, does that simplify your Christian life. That really helps. Hallelujah. You can do that. Praise God. All right, there's a lot of other things to say, but I think you've got the idea. Now, self has to die. Turn to Ephesians 4, and then we're going to go to prayer here in just a minute. See, you got to ask God for the love. That'll start growing in you and taking things over. And then you have to put to death the selfish stuff. You can't allow them to grow side by side. One will win and one will lose. So you ask God, and then you go after every selfish thing and put it to death. And folks, listen. The Bible says you got to crucify the flesh. Put off the old self. Don't give it any mercy. A lot of people get it down and get right ready to stab it to death, and they say, oh, poor thing. And they have mercy on it. They let it get back up again. Turns into the same monster it was before. Next time you get it down on the ground, bayonet it. All right, Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, if there's anything about yourself you don't like, it is the old self. If there's anything about yourself you don't like, It cannot be the new self which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's nothing wrong with your new self. It's just like God. So there's anything you don't like about yourself. I'm not saying if you don't like the way your ears are or the fact that you're bald or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about inside of yourself. It's just the old self. Say it. Say it out loud. It's just the old self. You can put that off. Say, I can put that off. That's right. Say, I have a new self. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's just like God. It's nice. It's kind. It's loving. It's pure. It's truthful. It's holy. I like my new self. Lift your hands up and tell God you like your new self. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what you don't like is just the old self. You can get rid of that. Thank you, Lord. But we got to get rid of it. All right. Colossians 3:5 is just around the corner here. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, to your flesh. Put to death. All right. Now, listen. Let's look at Luke 9:24. Luke 9:24. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Right. This life of loving God and wanting to do everything for his glory will actually kill and destroy selfishness. Folks, we're full of selfishness. I had a couple in my office, they want to get married, and this lady had been dating another man. She broke off with him so she could get married to this other nice-looking young man. And so the first man was very suicidal and was threatening to kill himself and maybe kill her. And the young man that was in my office with her, they were telling me how this wild, crazy guy had come out to the place where she went to school, and he'd been real threatening. And so her fiancé now had said, "You be sure to call me when you get home. I want to know that you're safe." And she, somehow something went wrong, and she didn't call him till like the next day. And so they'd been fighting over that. He'd been saying, "Why didn't you call me? You knew I was worried about you. I was so worried about you. You knew you agreed to call me. You knew how dangerous this situation was. Why didn't you call me?" Now they're here for counseling to have me tell them who was right and who was wrong. And I said, "Brother, you blew it. You blew it, and you demonstrated how selfish you were." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, let's see. What you should have done, you should have said, 'Honey, I was so worried about you.'" You can be the honey here. "Honey, I was so worried about you. I'm so glad you're safe. Listen, because I love you so much, if anything like that ever happens again, just call me, because I just love you so much." Now, that wouldn't have come off selfish, but you know why he was mad at her? Because he's feeling sorry for himself. He didn't get enough sleep that night. He was worried. It was selfish. Are you getting that? He was, instead of putting a value on her and saying how valuable you are, "Honey, next time be sure to call me because you're precious and valuable," he's mad at her saying, "You didn't call me. You troubled me. You did something wrong to me." And he didn't even know that was selfishness. We're full of selfishness. We don't even know it. All right, now, this is what I'm going to ask God to do in a moment, in just a few minutes. I'm needing some men to get all that stuff out of the way so we have the full altar thing. I want the projector out of the way, all these microphones out of the way, the monitors out of the way, and we're going to have people up here where we're praying for them. All right, listen to me. Here's what I desire. I want to pray with all my heart. You can join me. We can all pray for each other that God will put a tremendous, great love in our hearts for God. But that's all we'll want to do is love God, bring Him glory, and garden for God, and have a prayer life where we do what He says so that He'll do what we ask. And then if I'd like to just come after self-will, self-glorification, self-gratification, self-seeking, self-centeredness, self-exaltation, self-pity, self-preservation. Self-preservation hates the cross and wants to preserve your old life. And self-pity stands around and weeps for it. Self-idolatry, false self-denial. See, a lot of people think they think they're really denying themselves, and they're just fooling themselves. Maybe they'll give up eating brownies or something and continue to gossip. It'd be better to deny yourself gossip than eat a brownie once in a while. Right? Comparison with others, selfish ambition, and self-justification, where we justify our bitterness and our anger. Now listen, it would take a Holy Spirit bomber to come in, wouldn't it? To rip all that stuff out of us and to blast all that stuff out of us. But God's big enough to do all kinds of things. He can do a quick work. He said in His Word that He could. And I believe it just depends on how much we want the work. Well, I'm ready to ask God for the work. I'm ready to command that stuff to leave. And let Him be God. Do His great work. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. We'll just move things now. Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Just begin to praise the Lord and tell Him you want to love Him. You want to head like that rocket towards His presence. You just want to love Him. If you're a basket case, just say, God, I'll be your basket case. I'll give you the whole basket. I'll give you all the broken pieces of my life. I won't hold any back. See, God can't put you together if you're holding two or three of the pieces back. Right? You couldn't put a puzzle together if somebody kept two or three of the pieces. If you give Him all the pieces, brother, He'll put you back together. He's give Him all the pieces. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know how many of you would like me to have me lay hands on you. I don't know that my hands are anything special. God does things through my hands, but He can do it for all of us. I'm going to pray one big mass prayer, and then those of you that would just like to go bonkers for God. I mean, you'd just like to jump off of cliffs for God. You know what I mean? You say, I've had enough of everything selfish. I just want to love God. I just want to be consumed by it. Then I'd like you to come and I'd like to pray for you. And because if I didn't cast anything out of any of you in a deliverance session even, but if somehow God would put that love in you, we'd be miles ahead. So lift your hands up to the Lord and help us, Lord. Would you individually ask God to put that love in your heart right now? Use your own words. Surrender your selfishness to God and say, God, come in and take me over. I'm willing to lose all of my old life to find this new Jesus-style life. I want to be taken over by love for God. Thank you, Lord. Now, precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be raining that down all over us and pouring it in, put big funnels in our hearts and funnel it into us and fill us up with this all-consuming love for God, to where that's all we want to do is love you. And we may be full of some other things. So we just pray you'll put high pressure with it, Lord, so that what comes in, it blasts in. And when it blasts in, it blasts out the other junk, especially the selfish stuff. Hallelujah. Those of you that would desire to have hands laid on you, I don't know if maybe nobody will fall under the power. I don't know what you'll do. But if your heart's really been stirred, you want to be that kind of a person. You want to just live to glorify God. Come up here real fast. I want to lay hands on you. Ask God to do something special for you. Then don't go away, because in a few moments, I'm going to just tackle that selfish stuff. And you'll get a lot of deliverance, I believe. But this is more important than what we get in right now is more important than what we get out. Now, if you're standing behind someone, just keep your eyes open. If they do get slain in the Spirit, just catch them or help them. Lift your hands up to God. You be asking Him. All right, Father. Praise God. Now, folks, would you be praying for these people? Because God is your source. I'm not your source. I just know that I love God. I know that I have that desire for you to be just totally dedicated to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, take these people and fill them overflowing with the love of God. Every single one. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just be worshiping God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I desire that you fill these people with an all-consuming love. An all-consuming love. Oh, Holy Spirit, take them over. 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 Give them more love for you than they ever, ever thought they could have. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Os de so scendo mita le momisce adesso. Linde mascedeli lacate mo scende manda la moscademina. Oh, Father, praise God. Just keep crying out to the Lord, folks, because the Lord's just raining things down. He's just sovereignly doing it. Praise God. He can work a little through my hands. He can do work a lot more. Catch her now. Folks, you're right behind her. Sis, watch out. Thank you, Lord. Now, when the Holy Spirit moves like that, just give God glory. And if you're behind somebody, keep your eyes open as you're praying. Just thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit. Come and move even more. In the name of Jesus, thank you for my sister. Praise the Lord. Now, give God glory when he moves like that. I can't make anybody fall over, believe me. Only the Holy Spirit can touch people real powerfully. And they don't have to fall over to be touched powerfully. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Just keep worshiping God. His presence is just getting greater here. As you desire him, he's coming to fulfill your heart's desires. He grants the desires of the righteous. Fill the Lord now with your great love in the mighty name of Jesus. Fill my brothers with your all-consuming love. Drive out of these men, Father, all selfishness. Take them over. Take them over. Take them over, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Consume my brothers, Lord. Consume my brothers. Onde li sorcida li bonde, lusse de li motte, le sorcide bota de li da mascezzo, kenda li bodama, sino li to mascendia. Now worship God. Give him glory. Worship him. Worship God. This is more important than getting in the love of God. Is more important than casting anything out. So pray. Believe with all your heart. You help me, brother. Close your eyes now. Father, consume this man, John Beelman, with the love of God. Thank you, Lord. Consume him. Consume him, Lord. Consume this brother with the love of God. Consume this sister with the love of God. In Jesus' mighty name, God, fill this sister with the love of God. Father, consume my brother with all out and out love and adoration for God. In Jesus' mighty name, fill my brother with love for God. Consuming love. Consuming love. In the name of Jesus, consuming love. Praise you, Lord. Now, if I've prayed for you, step back. Step back to the back if I've prayed for you and let somebody else come forward. And keep praying with me. Stretch your hands out and pray for these other people. Please help me. My voice is tired and I need you to pray with me. Pray with me. The more you pray, I don't have to shout as loud. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, my sister wants this love. Now, just give it to her. She can't manufacture it, no matter how hard she tries. And neither can I. Now, consume her, Lord, with that all-out love for God. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Fill my sister, Lord, with all-consuming love and worship for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Father, take my sister's heart and fill it with the love of God. Give her a new heart. A heart that's consumed with desire to love you and bring you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Praise God. All things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with him. All things are possible with God. Hallelujah. God has prepared you in advance for good works. Brother, be filled with the love of God. Filled. Filled. Thank you, Jesus. Consume this brother. All-consuming love for God. All-consuming love. All-consuming love for God. Fill my brother with it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fill my brother with this consuming love for God, the desire to bring him glory and honor. Thank you for this sister, Lord. Show her every way to honor you and bring you glory and honor. Every way. Every way. Every way. Take her heart over, Lord. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, my brother needs a new heart. Give him a new heart. A heart that just wants to love you, Lord. Put the love in him. Now, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fill my brother with the love of God. All-consuming love for God. In Jesus' mighty name, be filled. Be filled with the love for God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Fill my sisters, Lord. Consume them. Bathe down over them. Take them over in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands. Father, set my sister's heart ablaze for you. Ablaze with glory. Put this hand over your heart. Set her heart on fire for you. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of your holy Son, Jesus. Be filled now with that glorious love for God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, do it for my sister. Do it for her. Do it. Do it for my sister. Give her this all-consuming love for God so that she's an all-out-and-out disciple. In Jesus' name, be filled now, now, with that love for God. Hallelujah. Fill my sister, Lord, with that love for God, that great love. Now, do it now, Lord, now, in Jesus' mighty name. Fill her now, Lord, now. Fill her, saturate her, consume her with that love for God. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. Just keep praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and give God glory for what He's doing. Give God glory for what He's doing. Give Him lots of praise, lots of glory. Keep working with me in the Spirit. I need your help. I need your prayer. I need you praising God and giving God the glory. Yes! Now have it. It's yours. Hallelujah. Give God praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, receive it. Now receive that love of God. Now. Hallelujah. Take it. Receive that love for God. All-consuming love for God. Receive it, sister. It's yours. In the name of Jesus, it's yours. It's yours, brother. It's yours, my brother. It's yours, my sister. It's yours. It's yours, my sister. Receive it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God with a loud voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. 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 Yes, my Lord. Oh, He led no Moita. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Fill the Lord. Fill the Lord. Fill the Lord. Fill the Lord. Consume my brothers and sisters with the love of God in the name of Jesus. Fill my brother full. Full. Fill my sister full in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. You all lying spirits, every old binding lie, loose her mind and loose her heart in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, set her ablaze. Ablaze. Ablaze with love for you. Take my brother over. Love of God. Fill him. Saturate him. Consume him. Now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Take my sister over, Father. Give her that heart of worship. Worship. A worshiper's heart. Give her a brand new heart of worship. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep worshiping and praising the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Receive. It is yours. It is. It is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Consume my sister, Lord, with worship and love for you. Consuming love. Consuming love. Consuming love for God. Consuming love. Consuming love for God. Thank you, Lord. Now. Just come right up. Other people that desire this. Come. Hallelujah. You're not coming to me. You're coming to Almighty God. I'm not Almighty God. Lift your hands up. Hallelujah. I'm one of God's little sticks. Hallelujah. Like Samson's jawbone. Worship God. Worship Him. Worship Him. Come on. Pray. Ask. Ask God to give up consuming love to everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My sister does want this consuming love. So give it to her, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Be filled in the name of Jesus with consuming love for God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, sister. Lift your hands up to God. Thank you, Lord. Bless my sister with this consuming love for God. Now, thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fill my brother, Lord, with this all-consuming love and devotion for God. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Everything works out when you love God. Everything. Everything works out, sister. Everything works out. Nothing's too hard. It's just simple. No amount of bondages can remain. Don't worry about anything. God will set you on fire. And the fire of His love will burn out all those bondages you've been worried about. Doesn't matter how many they are. Thank you, Lord. I'll be filled with this all-consuming love. Thank you, Lord. Father, fill her now. Now! Torch it up, Lord. Fill her. Overflow her. Overwhelm her, Lord, with overwhelming love for God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill my sister, Lord, with overwhelming love, devotion, worship for God. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Consume us in the fires of your love. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Now consume us in the fires of your love. Fill my brother, Lord, with consuming love for God. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Anybody else just come up here quickly? I would like to give you deliverance from self-bondages, so I hope you're staying. I believe the Holy Spirit, if those of you really want to love Him and you get the love, then we're going to rip. Self-stuff's going to come out in fury. God's going to be furious with it. He'll rip it. He'll strip it out. Hallelujah. So get ready. Keep praying. Keep praying. Listen, you got to be like your brothers, the Reubenites, Gadites, had to cross the Jordan River and help the other Israelites get their inheritance. All right, you got prayed for. Some big thing happened to you. Now don't just goof off and pray with me. I need God to do this. I can't do any of this.
All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters come to flee. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, as the prophet said it would be. Deep down in my heart, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord and the waters of the sea. All over the church, the Spirit.
This is the end of our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.